are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse, and Superman is in the building. Brett Roterman got in here flying in with about
30 seconds.
The Everly Brothers were already playing.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
So now, before we go into many other things, next week starts Golden Days.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah, that came by really fast, didn't it?
I know. So
we haven't even had any really decent summer weather, and it's already Golden Days. I hope we get some good weather for that.
But do you ever follow the Polk of Gold contest that starts Monday morning at 8 o'clock, presented by Black Gold Transportation?
I do not.
Either do I, but I think I'm going to follow it this year. It's really, really popular. It's the mystery. Where's the Polk of Gold at?
Right.
And the Polk of Gold has been secured. I'm reading this from the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce. The clues are ready. Starting Monday, July 20th, 2026, clues will be posted daily at 8 a.m. So go to the Fairbankschamber.org, you know, get online, and at 8 a.m. start reading the clues. The winner must redeem the scroll representing the poke in exchange for a real gold nugget at the Fairbanks Chamber office. Clues will be published directly on this page and will, as well as the Greater Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce Facebook page. Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I followed the... Oh, what is it? When they hide the puck,
the golden puck.
Well,
they copied that.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know,
and that was Aaron Gibson that found it.
Yeah, what a jerk! Let's go hurt him.
Yeah,
he's got a kid who plays hockey.
He finds this, it's clearly rigged. You know.
Yeah, Aaron, don't do it. Just don't do it. We will hurt you badly for making us feel bad.
And we know where you live.
So you were at the Fairbanks, Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
We just came from the Fish and Game. So it was an interesting meeting. So basically, you know, I have a cabin out in the Minto Flats with a couple of partners, and pretty much the entire crew were all pilots. So we've been, and my partners have been out there for 35 years. I came into that crew about 10 years ago. But we're all pilots, and we fly around a lot out there, and we've been hunting out there for years, and we boat all over the place. And so this year, what we noticed is it's just really hard to find any moose.
Lack of moose.
And it started off as kind of a casual conversation, and then it was like, well, let's go looking, you know. So
Aerial looking.
So
Flying and hunting on the same day looking.
Right. And so coincidentally, you know, me and my partner, who actually taught me to fly fixed wing years ago, he and I both just recently got our helicopter rating, and I have a helicopter, and he has access to a friend's helicopter. So we've been bombing around out in the flats in the helicopter, and we've been giving people rides, you know, if we've got them out at the cabin and having fun. But at the same time, we're intentionally looking for moose, and we're having a hard time finding them. And then the other thing we've noticed is that when we find a cow, generally speaking, we can't find a calf. I mean, very few twins.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, today we brought it to the attention of the Department of Fish and Game. They are watching the populations out there. They intentionally issued a cow hunt years ago to try to drop the population because it was getting too high. And Anyway, their next survey, we discovered today, their next survey is going to be in November. They do that in November right after the snow.
Yeah, and leaves are gone. Yeah.
Right, and it's easier to spot the animals. And then they try to get out. They hope for early snow because then the bulls haven't dropped their horns. So then they can get not only a count, but they can get a sex count as well. So that's going to happen in November. So we gave them our contact information, and you know, hopefully they're going to share the information with us to see if they can corroborate what we're seeing from the air.
Did you give any thoughts of why there's such a low count of moose?
Well, I had suggested that, you know, we did have a really cold spring. You know, the calves generally drop in May, and it was still pretty cold, and a lot of the ground was still frozen, so that means wolves can get at them. You know, we're noticing, again, cows that are basically barren, they don't appear to have any calves. So, you know, did the calves die from the cold? Did the wolves get them? Or are they simply not breeding? Is there not enough
bulls
in the area to breed the cows? So I don't know. They're going to get a count, and I'm sure they'll share the information. They were very interested in what we had to say. But again, they just go off the data they have. Their last good count out there was in 2023. We noticed this, what we think is a massive population decline, just this year. Because if I go flying out in the Tanana Flats right across the river from town, you'll count. I mean, I was out there the other night and we counted 30 moose.
Yeah.
You know,
did you ask for any data from game tag, you know?
Yes. Yeah. They provided some printouts for us, and it was all, and they showed us their maps and how they survey them, and it was interesting. It was a good interaction, and hopefully we'll stay in contact with one another. I told them, you know, I will continue to email them what we're seeing from the air. But now I think when I'm out there, you know, puttering around in the plane or the helicopter, I'm actually going to really start intentionally going and looking for moose, and doing what they did. They showed us how, you know, they pick a grid at random in an area that they're surveying, and then they fly that grid, which is, I believe it's 6 square miles. Each box is 6 square miles.
It's called a township.
Yeah, and then they fly this grid. Now, they're doing it from either a Super Cub or a Scout, which is a little bit harder than a helicopter, but obviously they're cheaper to operate. And they try to spend 40 minutes within that grid so that they think they've covered it pretty well. And they do that in each grid so that each grid gets, it's all
very,
the same.
Very well represented of counting, yes.
So it was interesting how they do that. And so now me and my buddy are talking about, well, maybe we need to go do kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Pick an area and literally just fly a grid. Don't just fly through and say, oh, we didn't see any moose.
Yeah.
But it used to be we would just be flying around out there and you'd see moose, now we're not seeing them.
Do you have a measuring or a system that can tell you, you know, you've gone 6 miles, turn left?
Yeah, we could do that we could plot that out, you know, on our, you know, on our iPad, you know.
Okay, whatever it is.
Right, or the GPS.
We
use the iPad as a GPS anymore. So that's what the iPad does. It's amazing, the technology. You know, you can spend all the gazillion dollars.
Put it on
dollars.
Your phone, yeah.
Yeah, literally, you can spend a gazillion dollars to put all that stuff in your panel, and you know, your iPad does almost what, you know.
Had anyone else called this out to him?
Not that they told us. I didn't ask that question specifically. It's just we're out there all the time. I mean, me and my wife are out there.
Your front line.
Right. My wife and I are out there every weekend in the summer. We go in the spring as soon as the ice is out of the lake and we can land on the lake on floats. We're there. And then we don't leave until basically we're frozen out, you know.
October.
It can go into October. Yeah. We've gone as deep as October 11th, I think, is about as far as we've gone. So we're in there every weekend. And then, you know, we're there at the cabin. We're looking out over many, many acres, you know, from the deck. And we can see moose moving. And then, you know, we have to fly in and out. We're boating out there, you know.
Before we take a break, I'm going to bring up a similar subject. Have you seen the condition of the big rubber ducky?
No.
It looks like it's been shot a few times.
Oh, really?
It's got a lot of patches in it. It needs a replacement. Well,
there's a couple of them they put up around town, I think.
There's a big one. It's over there in front of Mount McKinley.
Oh, it is. Okay.
That's where I do all my banking. And I saw it the other day. I was driving by it, and I was like, that thing's, you know, it's been around for about 30 years, and it could get a good replacement there.
Lots of yellow duct tape?
Yeah, just yellow patches. Right. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We'll be back after this Duck Minute.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Once upon a time, there was a planet called home. It was full of happy people and all kinds of creatures. For a while, the people lived in harmony with nature. But as time passed, the people changed, and home changed too. The people saw that nature needed their help, and they realized they needed nature too.
Nature needs us now. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/now to learn more.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This is Lori Prox of KBAK Radio with some information on Valdez Derbies. In the Valdez Halibut Derby, it was Ashley Lodes of Port Charlotte, Florida, who took the first place weekly prize, and she got onto the overall leaderboard as well. She reeled in a 143.8-pound halibut on July 11th aboard the Nunatak. Second place is currently being held by Brett Nelson of Palmer, Alaska. He had a 143.8-pounder. Yeah, that's right. They had the same weight fish, but Brett caught his first, so that puts him in second currently. He reeled in his fish aboard the Dan O'Ryan. Shane Miller of Fairbanks reeled in a 184.6-pound halibut July 19th. He is currently in the lead in the Valdez Halibut Derby. He caught that big fish aboard the Devil Dog. But here's the cool part. Ashley Lodes of Port Charlotte, Florida was fishing with her dad. She caught that 143.8-pounder. Her dad took second place weekly. He reeled in a 138.6-pound halibut. He lives in Willow. This Saturday is the start of the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby, and it's the Valdez Kids Pink Salmon Derby, Saturday, July 25th, for kids age 5 to 16. You can check out this free derby at valdezfishderbies.com. Cash prizes, a free hat for kids, and even a radio show where a kid can win 10 pounds of jelly beans.
If you're looking to catch a big halibut, silver salmon, or rockfish in Valdez, get geared up at the Prospector in Valdez. Need boots or rain gear? Prospector's got it. Our Valdez store has rods, reels, tackle, bait, and even coolers to bring your catch home too. Talk to our local experts and get the right gear for Prince William Sound. The Prospector's open late all summer.
KBAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Scattered rain showers likely today, otherwise cloudy skies. Highs around 61. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, chance for scattered showers 46. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow 67. More clouds than sun. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have a dramatic change out. Ryan Anderson came in and threw Brett Roderman out, made him get coffee. And Ryan, who do I have in here with me?
Well, you have some of the main cast from Fairbanks Drama Association Children's Theater, their summer camp for The Jungle Book.
Hello there.
Wow. Hello, everyone. So, The Jungle Book. Who wrote it? Kipling. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
I had to think of his name. I
knew Alistair would know.
How long y'all been practicing or studying for this?
About 2.5 weeks, you could say. Would that be safe to say?
Yeah.
How many people are in it, Ryan?
17. We just got an 18th. The one behind me right now is our stage manager, so he's awesome. Mm-hmm. He kind of stepped up to play
Nothing
yesterday.
Happens without the stage manager.
Yes. Nope.
I want a lot of sucking up and bowing in his direction.
Yes.
It's his little brother right here, the person who plays Baloo's brother.
Yeah, use and abuse this moment while you can.
Yes.
You're the boss.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
What's your position in it?
Hi, my position is Mowgli.
She's Mowgli.
Ooh,
yeah.
The bear.
No, the no, kid.
Sorry. You know, close enough.
You know what? Actually, yes.
What's your position in it?
I'm playing Shere Khan, one of the main villains.
Ooh, yeah, the tiger.
The tiger.
Mm-hmm.
The
tiger. Ooh.
Yeah.
And I'm playing as Baloo.
The bear.
That's
the bear.
Yeah.
I'm Tabaki. I'm one of Shere Khan's little assistants.
Minions.
Minions, yeah. You could say.
And I play Ka. I'm like a saucy old wise snake.
Yeah.
I remember that one. Sounds like Ryan.
Oh, okay. Ow.
So, when does this start?
So the very first show day is this Friday at 7:30, same with Saturday at 7:30, and then a Sunday matinee at 2 p.m., but they're only doing it for this weekend. It's a one-and-done thing.
You know, I'd rather see something like this than the Nutcracker. I saw the Nutcracker so many times, but, you know, this is great. Good job. You know, the Fairbanks Drama Association is a wonderful organization, and many great people have come through it. So good for you, and you've picked a classic. You really have.
Oh, for sure.
This isn't Star Wars, man.
Yeah.
It was actually a tie between Sherlock Holmes and this one, but the reason we
studying Scarlet.
One, yes.
And,
I know. But you know, it was a huge tie. But we decided to go with this one because we wanted something that had a big cast.
Yeah.
And right now at Fairbanks Drama Association, they're actually hosting auditions for Moriarty. So there you go. Yeah.
Moriarty.
Oh yes.
Whoa.
Oh yeah, that's a heavy one.
Ooh, I go by Lex Luthor once in a while.
You know what? You should try.
Yeah,
you should try.
The evil master criminal. Oh, well. So, you guys ready for it? It's this Friday, man.
Okay. Yeah. As ready
nervous,
as we can.
Yes.
Whether you are or not, the show will go on.
Absolutely.
Now, remember this. Two things when you screw up. Number one, mm-hmm. no one's going to remember it. And two, it's the stage manager's fault. Always. Yeah. Those are the two things.
Yes.
What's number one?
Nobody else knows the script.
And two?
It's always the stage manager's fault.
That's right.
Oh, Lord. David, I'm going to have a pep talk with them today.
Not throwing anyone under the bus, are we?
Well, he's standing right behind us.
So how did you come across being involved with the Fairbanks Drama Association?
Well, when I was like 9 years old, my older sister was doing this camp. And my mom wanted me to try it. So I did the little kids camp at first. And then as I kept growing up, I eventually got to this one where I met all these beautiful people.
Aww.
How did you become?
My grandmother works in the box office. I joined the first camp when I was like 6 and I just been kept doing it.
Oh, yeah.
I figured Ryan just found y'all and said, you're doing this.
I was like, hey, do you know about this thing over here? Let me talk to your parents for the next 10 minutes.
How did you get involved?
So a couple years ago, back when I was like 12 or 13, my sister-in-law came across this camp on Facebook, and
you got thrown in?
Yeah, she knows that I've loved acting. I've always loved being on stage, performing for people, all that stuff. And so she sent the link to me, and I convinced my mom to sign me up for it. So
she's been with us ever since.
How about you?
I had a bunch of friends doing it, and I came to the show last year, and it was really good. So I was like, I'm free these next 3 weeks. Might as well find something to do with my time.
Yeah. For me, I was always interested in wanting to do acting, but I could never find the right place to do it. So instead of working on geometry homework one class, I decided to look up theater camp, and I found this. And then I was in Pinocchio last year, and now I've been just doing it ever since then.
So did you have your brother do your geometry homework?
No, he was in middle school at the time.
How did you become involved and become a stage manager?
My brother.
After his geometry homework was done, he got to be stage manager. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
It's like a level up experience kind of thing.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, the look on all your faces, you're going to be very successful. I mean, look at bright-eyed smiles, ready to go.
Thank you.
You know, I'm getting your Willy Jillies out of the way here.
Yes, because
you are performing, you're in front of Fairbanks right now.
Mm-hmm.
So little by little, you get through it. And rule number one is? No one will know if you make a mistake.
Yeah, and it's always the stage manager's fault.
That's rule number two.
It's easy to pin it.
So when you're all said and done with this, what's next?
Ooh, yeah, what's next on your guys' plate? For me, I have to go up to the UAF to teach summer sessions.
Okay.
So, yeah, what are you guys going to do?
What's the stage manager doing next?
He shrugs.
Starting high school. Probably. He's starting high school.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
HS.
Okay. What high school do you go to?
Star of the North.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What school do you go to?
I'm a concert choir student who's also part-time at West Valley. And I think I don't really know what I'm going to do next. But I'm kind of just going with the flow.
A concert choir student.
Yes. Yes.
I just don't get those in here that often.
Yeah, right? There you go.
Yeah.
You got some couple of them.
Five? What are you going to do next?
Three out of five of you.
Yeah.
I'm heading into middle school this year.
Yeah.
No, excuse me. No. You're going to own middle school this year. You're not heading
into. She totally is.
You own it. Mm-hmm. You own it. Concert choir people.
Yes.
So you guys go to Lathrop, don't you?
Yeah,
they're Lathrop concert.
You know, Fairbanks, I'm in a purple padded room with North Korean equipment and a lot of intelligence here.
Yes.
My God. Yeah. What are you doing?
I'm going to go into UAF this fall semester.
Yeah.
I've graduated early.
Yeah.
Wow.
What are you going to take?
I'm thinking I'm going to go into a Bachelor of Arts, and I haven't decided if I'm going to do film or theater yet.
Okay.
So,
First of all, congratulations for getting through high school
Thank you.
Having chosen something. But also, you know, are you 18 yet?
No.
Okay, that's all.
what I
mean is,
oh, no.
When you're 18 years old, what do you really know what you're going to do?
Yeah.
But you're going out and taking a look. Mm-hmm. And a Bachelor of Arts is great for taking a look and finding what you might really want to do. So good for you. That's a good choice.
Thank you.
That's
Thank
a
you.
Good choice. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to be dismissive of your next job, but you're perfect.
You're exactly
right. And
I
never say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's a big compliment, and I can vouch for that.
Thank you.
Oh, man. So what does the popcorn cost at this event?
I know that we will have concessions. I have no idea what they're going to serve.
And where's it at?
It will be at Fairbanks Drum Association. The concessions will just be right in the lobby, next to the box
where's
office.
Where's Fairbanks Concert Association at?
Fairbanks Drama Association is right actually next to the dog park and the Carlson Center, just on that
Right road. On the river?
Right on the river. Riverfront Theater.
That's what I was trying to get to.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I saw where you led me. I got to the water.
Oh, man. So Roger Kipling, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a classic.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was written about 1890.
Yeah.
Last year we did Pinocchio, which was also written quite a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing the classics. You're starting out with the classics, and then you can jump out into Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah. A couple of you guys have done Shakespeare before,
you know,
right?
I grew up loving reading Sherlock Holmes by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. I mean, all of them. Yep. It really, reading brings you to different worlds.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And now what you're doing is you're reading and you're interpreting and you're performing.
Yep, exactly.
We're bringing that world to people who haven't read the book yet.
Yeah,
exactly.
Good for you. Wrap us up here, Ryan.
Well, if you are interested in seeing the Fairbanks Drama Association Children's Theater production of The Jungle Book, you can either call our box office at 907-456-PLAY, that's 7529, or feel free to check out our official page on AK Tickets, so you can get your tickets today. Tickets are only $10. That's the best part. It's very affordable for families. So please check us out.
Hey, great having you all in here. I mean, you know, whenever one's in here smiling and happy, it's a good show. But that's every day here, okay? You guys have a great afternoon, and we'll see you later. Fairbanks,
thank you so much.
We're going to give you some Maroon 5 bumper music, and I'm sure Ryan picked out this crap.
Probably.
Yeah, and then we're going to go to some Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather, and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The Pentagon announcing Iran has been hit with another round of strikes. It marks the fifth straight day of U.S. attacks after an interim deal to end the conflict was broken.
Most of these strikes have been on the coast of Iran. According to Central Command, the narrative anyway is that the U.S. has been hitting the capabilities of Iran to threaten shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. And this follows seven commercial ships that were hit crossing the strait.
Fox's Mike Tobin. More rounds of life-threatening flash flooding impacting Central and South Texas. Fox Weather's Robert Reyes in Camp Wood, about 130 miles west of San Antonio.
There were 25 people that were rescued. Rivers, creeks, streams were on the rise because of this incredible rain. Yesterday, 10 inches to a foot in some areas.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott issuing disaster declarations for several counties. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchor's Daily News reports the state of Alaska says it will soon begin construction on a controversial road through a wildlife refuge on the Alaska Peninsula after the Trump administration last Friday issued the first ever federal permit for the work. But conservation and Alaska tribal groups have filed lawsuits to stop the road that runs through the Izembek National Wildlife Refuge. They're hopeful that U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason in Anchorage will issue a decision this week halting any work. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said Friday that it issued a permit to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for construction of a 19-mile, single-lane, unpaved road from the isolated village of King Cove to an airport at Cold Bay, where jets provide access to emergency care in Alaska cities. Proponents have argued that it will provide life-saving care for King Cove residents, while critics have countered that it will set a dangerous precedent for federally protected lands in Alaska and damage vital habitat and wildlife. Governor Dunleavy said the permit decision marked a historic day for Alaska and King Cove.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
The road is where you make it with Discoverer Rugged Trek All-Terrain Tire from GCR. Rugged Trek's aggressive tread design delivers the off- and on-road performance you need and the look you want. Versatile with comfortable all-season ride and superior traction even on snow and ice. Take control of Alaska's driving conditions. For your light truck or SUV, buy your Cooper Discoverer Rugged Trek at GCR. GCR Tires and Service, the tire guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
If I die young, bury me in sand, send me away with the words of a love song.
It's the 14th annual Backyard Country Barbecue featuring the Band Perry, Thursday, July 16th at the Tanana Valley State Fairgrounds with special guests Trey Pendley, Kendall Marvel, and Ken Peltier. The Band Perry is bringing their Psycho Rodeo Tour to Fairbanks.
And let the stones say,
this is an all-ages show, The Band Perry. Doors open at 4, music starts at 5. Tickets are on sale now at ericksonevents.com. The Band Perry at the Tanana Valley State Fairgrounds. Presented by Tanana Herb Company, The Spur, the official after-party location, and Coors.
All I wanna be is done.
This is an Ericsson Unlimited event.
Attention all student athletes. It's time to gear up for the season with McKinley Orthopedic Sports Medicine and Spine. Monday, July 20th from 8 to 6, head to their Geist Road location for free sports physicals. Don't miss your shot to start the season strong, safe, and ready to play. McKinley Orthopedics on Geist Road, the official sports clinic of the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. Supporting student athletes every step of the way. No appointment needed. First come, first served.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Brett Roederman in the studio here with me. And it's always interesting what you don't hear on the air, what we discuss, why we're off the air. And I just got done chastising and cussing out Mr. Roederman. Why?
Because I broke down and bought a room air conditioner for our bedroom, and so now it will probably never get above 72 degrees ever again in Fairbanks, Alaska.
And why did I cuss you out?
Because I have a room air conditioner.
No, because why didn't you do this 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Why, yeah,
and yeah, cool it off and, a little and bit. And so basically, yep. Danny, I know you're listening. And boy, are me and you going to have a talk about this.
Yes. Yep. Yep. We just couldn't pass it up. Another one at, you know, Costco every year they offer.
Oh, I'll buy a helicopter, yeah, but not a room air conditioner.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
You're such an Alaskan. Your priorities are
toys.
Toys.
large toys. But yeah, so I think we've turned it, since I installed it, I think we've ran it twice. So.
Oh, man. Do you participate in any of the. The Golden Days community events?
No, no.
Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah.
Well, here's a schedule if you want to hear parts of it.
Why not?
The Golden Days luncheon is at the Alaska Salmon Bank Tuesday, July 21st at noon. Now, here's an interesting one. Wednesday, July 22nd, 2026, 5 p.m., Golden Days Old Time Games, and guess where it's at?
Pioneer Park.
No. Hmm. Alaska Land.
Well,
it's classified. It's now called Alaska Land.
Yeah, but it's still Pioneer Park until the end of the season.
But here's a good one that you might want to go to on Thursday, July 23rd, Golden Days Comedy Night at the Botel. Hmm. And I was reading about the gentleman who's there. He looks very good. 6:30 p.m. or 6 p.m. 6:30 p.m. is when he probably hit the stage. Golden Days Street Fair and Parade is on Saturday, July 25th to 26th. And you have the Pioneer Mug Up out there at Pike's Waterfront Lodge on the, I believe it's Friday the 24th. You have the Pedro Monument dedication on Sunday the 26th. But my favorite.
It's got to have something to do with food.
You know me well, sir. It's the Kiwanis Sourdough Pancake Feed Thursday and Friday in the Sadler parking lot.
Cool.
Yeah, so I've always really enjoyed that.
Oh.
How's your borough doing?
We're kind of, like I say, back to business as usual. Let's see, tomorrow night we have our committee meetings. We have a special committee of the whole meeting where we're going to meet with the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. You know, if anybody's been following recent events and following the news, the relationship between the assembly and the school district is a little strained.
Those money hoarders.
Yeah, a little strained. And so basically leadership on both sides decided to call a special meeting to kind of hash things out. But I was reading the agenda, and it's really not a hashing out. I think it's more of an explanation of how our budgeting processes work so that both sides can kind of explain, you know, what goes on.
Governmental bodies trying to interact. Fiscally interact.
Right. So I don't know what's going to become of this. I'm hoping it'll go well, and I'm hoping both sides will get educated. I know there are some things that I don't understand about how the school district works, and one big thing I don't understand with them is they are under a lot of state mandates that I am not familiar with. And that was one of the agenda items, was allowing the school district to explain some of how they are constrained by state law.
In operation, where we
are to some extent too, obviously. You know, we have to abide by state law, and the state dictates what the boroughs can do. But so I'm hoping some good information will come out of it from both sides. I've always been very frustrated with the entire budget process with the school district, the borough, and the state, because, you know, the school district does their budget first, and then we do our budget, and then the state is still in session doing their budget. And so if you think about that, all of the numbers that you're doing in your budget, they're all theoretical. It's guessing, because the school district doesn't know what we're going to give them, because we don't know what the state is going to give the school district, let alone what the state might give us in, you know, bond debt reimbursement and blah. It goes on. There's so many layers to this. It's just crazy. But when you really break it down, and it's always frustrated me, and I've always said something during the budget session, during a public meeting, so that I'm on the record of saying, this is crazy. We're doing this backwards. The state should have their budget set first. Then we should do ours, and then the school district should do theirs, and we do it exactly. A typical government, we do everything exactly.
They give their budget, and they're hopeful
Right.
That you will come in with your maximum that you can.
Correct.
And then the state doesn't take anything away.
And the state doesn't take anything away, and that hopefully the state will give more, and that it will be, then, you know, you have all the one-time funding.
So basically, we have three moronic financial entities.
Correct. Correct.
Oh my God.
It's everything is backwards. Again, if we just did it where the state did theirs, then the borough, then the school district, I think things would align.
Yeah.
But you'd have to change all of the fiscal years, you know?
Yeah.
And your whole budget process, which, anyway.
You know the easiest one to change would be?
What's that?
The school board, the school budget.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And you might tell them that.
Yeah. Could potentially realign theirs.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess even at the city, you guys probably had some similar things.
Yeah, actually, we don't. Ours is a calendar year.
That's right. You guys are on a calendar, so you knew what state reimbursements you were going to get, any kind of funding you were going to get from the state. You knew, so that's
so
true.
So maybe the school districts want to go on a calendar year and start their budget in December, January 1 of 2027.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you know what you're going to give them in 2026, and they know what they're getting from the state in 2026 for 2027 calendar year.
And at the borough, we're, you know, the typical July.
And they can start putting it together in September and October.
Right.
Like the city does.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
What a concept.
Yeah, I know. It would take some of the backwardsness out of it. It would take at least one cog in the wheel and shift it, you know, one way. But anyway, I've just always been frustrated. Once I kind of... You know, my very first budget, I remember going through this and I was just sitting there and all of a sudden it dawned on me. It's like, wow, this is really crazy that we're arguing over numbers that don't exist yet. You know, it's all theoretical. So, anyway, it's just one of those things. So anyway, I'm hoping this work session will go good. It has a potential for going long. It's a very long agenda, a lot of items to talk about. And, I'm hoping the presiding officer can kind of keep things reined in because there's a lot of very involved topics on this agenda to talk about, and I could see where it could go on and on and on because, gee, what do you know? A whole bunch of politicians get together in a room, and, of course, none of us like to talk, you know, so and drone on and on and on and on. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. I'm hopeful something good will come out of it. And then we just go back into our normal work sessions. We only have a couple of items there. So, yeah, so things are kind of back to usual. We're obviously in our new budget. You know, our new budget was approved, and, you know, that started on July 1. So
yeah, welcome
here
to
we
your...
are again. You know, we're into the new budget. And, other than that, we're just sort of back to business as usual. The big one lately, people probably read about it in the paper, was, we did approve the ability for the Pearl Creek Steam Charter to sign a lease with the borough if they are able to get off the ground. And a lot of people, you know, oh, God, you're going to lease it to them. And no, it was just the ability to lease.
If they're approved, you got to attend it.
Right. If they're approved, then we have to write the lease and negotiate the lease and sign it. And we don't know where that legal battle is going to play out.
Here's a thought for you. How many decommissioned schools have been removed?
None.
Exactly.
None. Not one.
You know, you still on University Avenue, you the original University Park.
That's right. And we're still paying to heat and light them. Yeah. We have to secure them. Vandalism is becoming an issue.
Joy.
We're having vandalism issue at Pearl Creek. The worst thing for any building, doesn't matter, but especially a school building, is to sit empty in this climate. You know?
Yeah.
So
you have to have an alternate use immediately.
Right. And a lot of these buildings are very hard to repurpose, and they're very expensive. So I've had some contractors approach me and with some ideas for either Pearl Creek or Joy. They're big contractors, but eventually we start to talk about it and we set something in motion, but ultimately they're like, we could just go build a new building. It'd be cheaper to build it than it is to try to repurpose a school. Many of our schools, too, they're well-built buildings. They were built years ago, and they're very well built. Yeah. So it's not like you just take a 10-pound sledgehammer and go in there and knock out a wall.
Their systems might fail, but
not the building.
No, not the structure.
Not the structure. They're very well built. You know, Joy was built in the
58, 59.
Yeah. It's literally a brick outhouse. A brick outhouse.
And with that thought, we're going to take a commercial break. Fairbanks, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. I've got Brett Roderman in the studio with me, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Have you ever considered volunteering? Visit the North Star Volunteer Fire Department open house this Saturday, July 18th from 11 to 3 at Station 31 in North Pole. Meet the crew, eat some lunch, learn about volunteering, watch live demonstrations, and ask questions. It's a good time for a break and a good time to discover the wild beauty of McLaren River Lodge. Nestled along the scenic Denali Highway, McLaren River Lodge is your base camp for adventure, fishing, hiking, wildlife viewing, or just relaxing by the river. Unplug, unwind, and breathe in that fresh Alaskan air. McLaren River Lodge offers cozy cabins, hearty meals, and views you won't forget. Make your getaway one to remember at McLaren River Lodge. Book online at McLarenRiverLodge.com.
Mary Peltola is not owned by billionaires. She believes government should work for the people, and that starts with fixing this rigged system.
Congress is half millionaires. It was not designed for that. It was designed to reflect the working people of Alaska. We need people who are willing to set aside their own personal stock portfolio and work for Alaskans. We've got to stop the insider trading. We've got to stop the ability for people to line their own pockets. We've got to enact term limits. 12 years in the Senate. If you can't get it done in that amount of time, go home. We don't want people in there making a career out of quadrupling their personal wealth. We need to show our leadership in Alaska.
Alaska's families deserve a fighter. The next senator from Alaska should be somebody who never forgets who she works for. And that person is Mary Peltola.
I'm Mary Peltola, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Alaskans for Mary.
Weather brought to you by Great Harvest Bread Company. Biscuits, bagels, and sandwiches so good you need them. Skip the snooze. Your breakfast is waiting for you at Great Harvest at the corner of Airport Way and Wilbur.
KFAR Weather.
Rain showers likely this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 61. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 46. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered showers. High of 67. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Mr. Roderman, during our little at ease here, was sort of venting in regards to our Alaska legislature and the Alaska gas line bill, and will it happen? And you think that Randy was right, that the Democrats are this wanting to embarrass, not give anything to the governor?
Yeah, I'm actually beginning to believe that that is the case, that that these guys just don't want to give Dunleavy or Trump or anybody, you know,
the win.
The win, because it would be a win for both of them, and I'm really starting to believe that Randy's theory is definitely coming true, and I'm very frustrated. I was asking David during the break, you know, if he's been following this, because I kind of gave up on it, and from what I understand, I've talked to Frank Tomaszewski a little bit and some of his aides, and they basically told me that it's just a stall game is all it is. They're stalling in conference committee, and they're just going to ride this thing out. And of course, the governor's going to have to call another special session. And
this one ends Thursday.
Yeah, this one's going to go on all summer. That's what it's looking like anyway. You know,
I would not want to be associated with the legislative process that did nothing. Yep. If you're a state senator right now, the House, they stepped up, they did it.
They did it.
State Senate, hey, Scott Kawasaki, you're from Fairbanks. Rob Myers, you're from Fairbanks. Guess what? Rob, I know you want to do it. Scott, you're, oh, no, we can't do this. We're doing this.
Yeah, and the excuses that they're coming up with, that one that I read about in the paper the other day, I thought I was going to fall out of my chair. Oh, my God, we don't have enough workers in Alaska. Gee, there's a news flash. We don't have enough workers in Alaska to do the jobs we have now. It's a no-brainer they're going to have to come from outside.
They're called J-8s, yeah.
How do you think we got all the Okies and the Texans up here, you know, during the oil pipeline?
You know, here's another thing that I hope that they would understand as a legislator down in Juneau, but I don't think they do. How many times has the Trans-Alaska Pipeline's taxes been adjusted by statute, by law?
Oh, I don't even
17 times.
Yeah.
So do you think that, you know, that this, what you do is going to be forever?
No, it's not. One legislature can't bind another legislature.
Yeah.
That's it. That's in statute. You can't do that. So this thing can be changed, but the thing is, you've got to get it off the ground to where it's economically
viable. Someone's going to want to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you can adjust. You can chip away at this. And then think about all those people during the oil pipeline that transplanted here,
mm-hmm.
okay? Many of those people stayed, and they added to our communities.
Yeah.
They built homes, right? Right here in the borough. They built homes in the city. They built businesses. They contribute. You know, you got to look at the long game here, you know, and we have a chance, you know, to have a massive influx of people, but it's also talent that could be brought in here. New ideas, people that are going to run for public office, people that are going to become, you know, whatever,
you know. Whenever I hear that, oh, all the jobs go to the people out of state, I go, no, 70% of the jobs up there are for in-state people.
Right.
The largest proportion of out-of-state jobs is from the tourism industry,
mm-hmm.
seasonal, and the fishing industry.
Seasonal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and oil and gas is year-round.
Yep.
It's year-round. It's year-round employment. Look at Fort Knox Mine. That's the largest taxpayer in the Fairbanks North Star Borough.
Yeah.
I'm telling folks out there, if that mine ever closes, Fairbanks is in deep, deep trouble.
actually, my thought is when that mine eventually closes, you better have a couple others that are ramping up to take its place.
Right. Or you better have something else, like a gas line, you know, or something.
Felix Dome, up there in Esther.
Right.
Yeah. Esterites, you know.
But, you know, those are all good-paying jobs with good benefits. Those people are here in the community. You know, they're spending money.
Yeah.
They own homes. They're contributing to the tax base. You know,
No NIMBYs.
Right. Their kids are in our school. You know, that's another thing. We got 5 empty school buildings. What do you think would happen to those buildings if this influx of workers comes into the gas line? We're probably going to be opening these buildings back up again. We're going to be reactivating these schools. That would be great for the school district. It would be awesome for the borough because right now, you know, we got to keep lights on. We got to keep the heat on. And so I'm so frustrated with the Senate right now and how short-sighted it is. I just don't understand why you would want to kill a project this big. It makes out of pure greed. It's pure tax greed.
Do you want a new tax bill or do you want a gas line bill?
Right,
and that's where the fight is.
Yeah, and then now we're throwing it. We're back to this battle of the S Corp thing, and it just. I get very frustrated, you know, because it's just, to me, everything is just, once you break it all down, 2 + 2 = 4.
And
this seems so simple.
And the thing about it is are you guys even going to be able to bring this out of committee for a vote?
Well, and then to me, looking on the outside, to me, I'm wondering, too, how much of this is motivated by this green initiative where they want to get us off of, I'm sorry, I'm going to say
it.
No, wait, I'm not supposed to say fossil fuels.
Yeah,
I'm
do it. Say fossil fuel.
Okay.
I'll say fossil fuel.
Fossil fuels. We might get a phone call on that. But
probably in favor.
Right. But, I mean, great. That is a great goal. And I believe someday mankind will probably achieve that. I don't think it's certainly within my lifetime. I don't think it's within probably the lifetime of, you know, my kid and my grandchildren, you know. I do believe humankind will eventually come up with some other energy source than what comes out of the ground. But right now, that's what we've got. That's what fuels the economy. And this idea of covering the entire state of Alaska in solar panels and wind farms, it's not economically viable, you know? So, again, it just the short-sightedness of this, the greed, you know, this bias towards this complete green energy thing. It's like, get the gas line built. Don't give up on green energy. I'm not saying keep with that technology will advance. Look at solar panels. I make a whole solar panel array out at our cabin. The panels that I put up, 7 years ago, I can buy that same size panel now that'll produce 2.5 to 3 times the amount of electricity that this current panel does. The technology has grown because people have demanded it, but you've got to let people demand that, and then the marketplace will sort it out, you know? And so, anyway, I don't know. I'm looking at the 20, 40-year picture, and typical government, I've always said, government can't see past the end of its own nose, you know,
Or the next budget.
And to kill it over again, just I want more tax money so that I can have more programs that we won't be able to afford in the future when the gas dries up and the oil dries up, you know, or our population gets too big or whatever. And look at where we're at now. You know, the oil pipeline created all this infrastructure and all these programs and all this stuff that just... It's government's propensity to grow. It happens whether you want it to or not. It doesn't matter what party is in power. This is not about party politics or that's just what happens. It grows, you know. But that's fine when the oil or the gas is flowing. Then when all of a sudden when, you know, it quits and you're out of money, now nobody wants to get rid of these programs. You know, government never wants to downsize. It always wants to hold its own or grow. So you're going to have to generate new sources of revenue, and this is a perfect opportunity, and I just fear we're pissing it away.
Do they even get it out of committee? Do they bring it to a concurrence vote? The thing is do they even get it to a concurrence vote?
I don't see it. I think they're just going to keep stalling.
I
think they're just going to keep stalling. The governor's just going to have to keep – they'll be in special session until they go back to the regular session. That's what it's looking like. I don't know who's going to give. Everybody is dug in. Nobody seems to be moving. I'm not even...
You know, put something out there for a vote, up or down.
Yeah.
What do you got?
But they don't want to vote on it because then people know where they stand on it, and then that might cost them in the next election. And so it's easy to just sit back and do nothing because now we don't know where they truly stand until they take the vote.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it ever gets out of committee. I think they're just going to sit on it.
Chicken littles.
They're just going to sit on it. And I don't know. It's frustrating.
Rantings from the purple padded room.
Yes. Yeah, well, this keeps going on much longer. I might be living in this padded room. And I'm bouncing off the rubber walls here.
I'll be your Dr. Phil.
Yeah, there you go.
What do you got planned for the weekend?
Well, let's see. Got sister-in-law and my niece is coming into town tonight. Let's see. Got an assembly meeting tomorrow night, and then we're all loading up and heading out to the cabin for the weekend. So hopefully the forecast will improve and it won't be raining the whole time, but we will see. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, Fairbanks, it's time for us to call it a day. Go to the Fairbanks Drama Association, Roger Kipling's Jungle Book. Is being done, and that's going to be a good show. And Mr. Rutterman, thank you very much for being on the radio here with me. Greatly appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Fairbanks, you have a wonderful weekend. Hopefully the Panther game plays tonight, but we will see. And I will see you on Friday.